Welcome back to another episode of the Cosmic Circle, the official podcast of the Cosmic Circus. On today's episode, we're going to be breaking down Venom, The Last Dance, which is the latest Sony Spider-Man film. My name is Brian Kitson, head writer at the Cosmic Circus, and joining me today, we have Vic and Uday. How are we doing today?
Hello, welcome. I'm doing as good as I can, for now, at least.
Is that because we're talking about Venom, The Last Dance?
Partially.
Perfect. That's all I need to know. Uday!
I'm doing pretty well. We're coming off the Agatha podcast. I'm ready to tear Venom to shreds. So
I am very excited because I know that this is... Okay, we're just going to go ahead and say real quick, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about this film. We're going to be talking about the Sony Cinematic Universe or whatever it's called, the Sony's Spider-Man cast of characters. The Sony
UMC.
Yeah, the Sony Spider-Man failures. But so we are here at Venom 3, which is the third and final film of the Eddie Brock story, question mark, because that doesn't feel like that's actually true after you see the post-credit scenes. And clearly this film picks up from Let There Be Carnage and then Spider-Man No Way Home. Uday, I want to start with you because I just want to give you some space to be able to tear this to shreds. What? How was this movie for you?
It's just so dumb and like... I don't know. I went with one of my friends who's like not a very critical movie watcher, like in her own opinion, where it's like she enjoys like, you know, a lot of movies, you know, like she doesn't break them down the way I do. And she was like, that was the worst movie I've ever seen, like in my life. And I was like, damn, I mean, definitely wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, but I respect your opinion. And she liked the first two Venom movies. I did not like the first Venom movie. I did enjoy the second Venom movie quite a bit. And the third one, I think, is definitely the worst of them. It's just so nothing. I'm like, why do you make movies that are so nothing? I kind of had that feeling about Let There Be Carnage as well. Like, it's a movie that's like missing like a second act, but it still felt like a story. And this movie just kind of feels like I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like, give us some money. Here's the thing. Like, what? It's got no plot.
Vic, I'm gonna let you go, and then I'm gonna jump in after you.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that I've watched it a few hours ago. I went out to see.
Congratulations! I'm so sorry.
I mean, it wasn't that bad as I expected it to be. It's definitely bad, but for the 80% of the movie, I thought like I was watching second act of the movie all over again. But each time it was about everything else. Like, I didn't know what's going on. Like, from the beginning, it's like, okay, we're picking up right after No Way Home. Okay, what are we gonna do with the symbiote? Okay, it's left on the 616, but we're back here again, and it's still the same bartender, but with different hair. It's still the same symbiote. It's still the same old universe. And, okay, before I go further, why all those movies all happen in a span of 1 year?
Like, because
Sony doesn't know how to make movies. That's just the easiest answer.
So I just want to say real quick, the thing about this movie I liked this movie. I thought it was the best of the trilogy. I did not like the Venom trilogy. I'm just gonna say that right now. I did not think it was anything spectacular. The first one was okay. The second one I watched and I was like, what did I just watch? Because nothing really made sense to me. This one I liked, but why do they set up storylines in this film that they do not follow through? Because like, we start off with the fact he's like, I gotta get to New York. I'm like, okay, we're headed to New York. Spider-Man, whatever you want to do, like, that's cool. We're going towards something cool. And then like, New York was no longer important other than the fact of it just was a plot point for Venom to be like, I want to see the Statue of Liberty.
So again, Sony just doesn't know how to make movies. They don't know how to write them. They don't know how to film them. They don't know how to... I mean, okay, that's unfair. They don't know how to make Marvel movies because, I mean, other Sony movies are good. And they've made good
live action Marvel movies
in the past. Yeah, the live action ones, let me specify. Although, I'll drop another hot take. I don't love the Spider-Verse movies. They're great. They're great. Trust me. But they just aren't the second coming of God for me like they are for so many other people. So, yeah, I don't know. Just... I feel like I just said Let There Be Carnage lacked a second act, and what Vic said about like, oh, like I feel like I just kept watching the second act, that's a great way to put it. Let There Be Carnage had no second act, and The Last Dance is all a second act. Like when they were having the showdown at Area 51 or whatever, I was like, is this the final battle? Because I'm like, this feels like the end of the second act battle. And it's like, I knew Null probably wasn't going to get up out of his chair, but I was still like, this can't be the end, right? And then all the Xenophages came out and I was like, oh yeah, this is the final battle. Okay.
I think that's, Vic, I want to start with you with this one. We set up Null to be this bad guy and he literally does nothing but sit in, he, like Thanos style, but not as cool as Thanos, sitting in a throne for this entire film. And I want to take this up further. So in this film, obviously, he's like, I need the Codex to get out. I need the Codex to get out. I need the Codex to get out. They never tell you why he's trapped. And then at the end, after Venom's gone, he's like, I'm coming for you now. You know, like, it's just, it's messy. I need your opinion on this, Vic. Come on, give it to me.
Okay, so they tell you why he's trapped. But
do they, though?
Throughout the movie, yeah, the symbiotes trapped him and all that, but...
They do, let's be fair, they tell you why he was trapped.
It's okay, that's the one good thing I can tell you about this movie, that they tell you why he's trapped, they not leave it, you know, out in the open for you to figure it out. But because it was Andy Serkis, I really felt like it was the Snoke again in The Force Awakens, where they tease you this big villain, and he doesn't appear for the rest of the movie, and that's all.
I feel like, but isn't that fine with Snoke? Because that was the first movie in a trilogy, and this
it was fine with Snoke, but I'm just going with the vibe that they showed it like this. But I mean, Null is a very, very good, in a way, of writing villain in comic books, and I was very hyped to see him because in comic books he's, you know, just like they mentioned in the movie, he's older than the universe and he's very powerful, and symbiotes had a problem to trap him. It was almost impossible to do so. And here it feels like, you know, like he's another villain who will appear and they're gonna defeat him in one movie and that's it.
It felt like they were almost panicking, though. They're like, we need what the next phase of our films are. We want something that's going to be attached to hopefully Spider-Man a little bit more, which, again, I think that would be a bad move on Marvel Studios if they do that. But it felt like they were panicking. They're like, throw in Null, and people will be like, oh, this is cool. This is great.
Yeah, I think it was a big red, I don't know how to say it, but it was a warning sign for them, you know, to use Null before he goes over to the Spider-Man movie, and they're gonna use him there because they just want money. They just want people to, you know, to go back to Venom Last Dance right before the Spider-Man 4 is released, or before the news about Null being in it are released, just so they can get more money. Because, you know, even without Null, this movie works in a way, works, quote unquote. But I don't like the idea of bringing such a big villain only to be seen for, I don't know, if it even was like 5 minutes. I don't know.
If even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just mentioned and that's it.
Uday, what is your take on Null being in this film? And like, does it serve a purpose?
Does anything in the Sony movie serve a purpose? Like, let's be real. The only thing they've done of consequence is leaving the symbiote on the counter in No Way Home, and even that was like weird as shit. I don't like that it's coming from their crappy universe. I don't know. I mean, I thought he was cool. Like, yeah, he sits in a chair. Thanos sat in a chair better than Null sits in a chair, that's for sure. I just thought it was hilarious that people were like, he's not going to get up from that chair for the whole movie. And I'm like, of course he's not. But it was really funny to find out that he can't get up and that he's like stuck in the chair. That got a giggle out of me. The Codex thing was dumb as, like, I don't even know, like, what they were doing with that. It's like, he's like, I need the Codex. I'm like, okay, and, like, a Codex is, like, created when, like, a symbiote revives its, like, human host from dying. But it's like,
So where were you in the second film? You know what I mean? like, because he revives him in the first film, correct?
I don't even know. Like, they showed us and I was like, I guess that happened. Like, these movies are just so stupid. Like, they're so beyond stupid. It's like Madam Web was better than this, because at least Madam Web you can really laugh at and like enjoy, because it's like every word that comes out of Dakota Johnson's mouth is just so like alien, you know? And like with the ADR like being so bad in Madam Web, like it's a more engaging watch, because there's like at least stuff to point and laugh at. And this movie kind of feels like it's just smushing your brain into a pancake, and it's just like, yeah, you like this? And I'm like, no, I don't. Can you stop making these?
So I definitely got the feeling. So I saw this film before it came out. I did my review. And I again, I feel like I'm shitting on this, even though I liked it out of all of them. But I kept going in my head. It felt very similar to The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, where like Heath Ledger passed away and like they didn't have not it, for quality, Vic. I saw your face.
Hey,
No, but like
yeah. Don't talk shit about The Dark Knight Rises.
no, but just like you had a villain that you kind of set up in the second film that you they couldn't carry it through with The Dark Knight Rises. And I feel like you had Carnage right there. You had Carnage right there. And this film could have been just as good with Carnage, and you could have taken out the null stuff and you could have saved him for something better. And I do worry that they were just trying to draw the people in there. And I, Vic, your eyes got so big when I made with the comparison.
Why? Like,
I thought you were gonna hate me for a minute there.
no, because I hated you, but when you said I'm not comparing it with quality, I calm down. I calm
Okay,
down.
okay. But it, like story-wise, you know what I mean? Like they introduced Carnage, he's still alive at the end, and then like, where was
He's
he?
not.
They did. They
Venom
killed
made
him.
him.
Yeah,
I thought they
he.
showed him in a post-credit scene with his face
No,
again.
he bit his head clean off. That was what everyone was mad about.
Wow.
Let there be carnage, is that he's dead. And then they didn't save
Well,
him for more.
this tells you how much I really paid attention to this film.
No, but like
Clearly.
that's the Venom movies. Like they're not even worth remembering. It's just the first one just never should have made so much money. We wouldn't be in this predicament if the first one had just, like flopped like it should have. But I don't even know what to say about it. I'm just like, should Null have been saved for something? Like, what else would he have been saved for? Like, this is the symbiote stuff. Like, I don't think the MCU is ever gonna get around to him. And so I'm like, I thought it was cool to see him on screen for the 3 minutes of screen time that he got. I'm like, you're interesting. I wish the movie focused more on that. I saw the headline of another person's review, like maybe from Disgusting Film, and they were like, oh, like the movie drags when it's about like the lore, and it's only good when it's about Eddie and Venom. And I had the opposite feeling. Like the Eddie and Venom shit is just so overplayed. It's so boring now, and it's so badly written. Like I really liked it in Let There Be Carnage. I didn't love it in the first Venom. I really liked their dynamic in the second one. And then now I'm just like, it's just annoying. Especially when Venom is like, oh, I can't like come out and like we can't like be Venom together because like the Xenophage will find us. But like I'm gonna be Venom so I can like dance with Mrs. Chen. And it's like that was a cute scene, but it's just so dumb. And so I liked the lore part of it. I was like, Null is interesting, but I like the other symbiotes are interesting. I liked Toxin. Is that was it Toxin the green one? Like with
I
the
don't know. They never call them their names.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Well, the green
but
one, that's the
let's say it
prettiest
was
symbiote.
Toxin. Yeah,
That's
because in
yeah,
the
I'm pretty
comics,
sure it's Toxin.
Mahoney was Toxin, so.
Yeah, I mean it was the prettiest symbiote I've ever seen. Like he was green, he kind of moved like a mermaid. I'm like, cut this part out, but it's like maybe I understand the monster fuckers a little bit now, you know?
Nope, keep that in, Lizzie. No, but I get
We
it. There
don't
was like
judge you. We don't judge.
I will say that it was gorgeous. It was absolutely like it was interesting. I liked the symbiotes and I liked seeing them. I thought that was really cool, but like Noel didn't feel intimidating to me. I think that's what I was waiting for, because I feel like with Thanos he always had the villains that came in, but like he felt like this intimidating presence that's always there. But I think like the way that they just dropped Noel in here as like this bad guy that wasn't a bad guy didn't work in the intimidation factor. Like it didn't feel like, ooh, he's scary.
He felt scary to me, but maybe I'm easily scared. I think the bigger problem is that it doesn't fit with the first Venom. Like in the first Venom, like I think did they say that they were like fleeing their home? But like the symbiotes in the first Venom, like Riot, like they were like it's so weird to me that the symbiotes in the first Venom were like clearly villainous and like Venom wasn't. And then in this movie, they're all just like really helpful and they're all like so nice. And I'm just like it's so messy and bad. And I'm just like, I liked the symbiotes, but I'm just like, it makes no sense with how they acted in the earlier movies.
Sure. Vic, what do you think? Do you feel like he was intimidating? Did you feel like that the symbiotes were vastly different?
Okay, let's start with Null. I think he was meant to be scary, but he wasn't. Like, if he
Okay.
had much more screen time or even much more scenes where they show why symbiotes are so afraid of him and why he's so dangerous, maybe. there would be something screwy about him. Even his face, like he looked more like Morbius from Morbius than Morbius looked in the
100%.
movie. And it wasn't even scary at all. And Matt Smith is looking at me right now from my poster and thinking exactly the same thing. So now it wasn't scary. He wasn't even intimidating. I think that when Marvel gets to make a movie, they're gonna make him scary and intimidating, maybe even looking even better. But the whole lore about him was so underused. Like, they could have easily made the whole act, second act, about Venom telling Eddie about the lore, about the war, about imprisoning now, but no. They decided not to do this. And when it comes to symbiotes, I think the comparison between the first movie and this one is that it's great because in the first one we see Riot, who's the evil symbiote, but I think it's because he was the one who wanted to control the whole symbiote group in order to make sure that Null is never threat, so they never free him. So maybe that's it, but to be honest, I really don't care about it. Like, symbiotes in this movie were much better, and I think that the idea to make them good guys, which they are in a way, at least some of them in the comic books, was definitely the way to go.
What's interesting to me is that all three Venom films have the same writer, but it feels like there was no connection between most of, like obviously when they wrote the first one, it did not feel like they knew where this was going, you know? And like when you look at like the action and you look at like the symbiotes, they're really cool, but when you start to look at the plot, you're just like, there's so many holes here. It's Swiss cheese or nothing here, you know? Like, the fact that it was written by the same individual feels like there's just like a disconnect on like what story did you want to tell? Like, if you were setting this out to be a trilogy, did you know where it was ending? Because it doesn't feel like you did.
No, they definitely didn't. They were just throwing shit at the wall. And I can respect that, but it's like you're not even throwing like interesting shit at the wall anymore.
Yeah, I
No, that's
mean,
fair.
I agree. After Andy Serkis decided not to direct the third part, I feel like they decided to just write anything to close this and move on, like
And
with
not only
every
that,
single Sony movie.
and
Like,
like the
I don't.
writer was also the director too of this one. Like,
Kelly Marcel, I think. I don't think it's a problem that they didn't plan out a trilogy. Like, I think Sony was as flabbergasted as the rest of us when the first Venom movie actually did well, you know?
sure.
I think they made it because it was like a sunk cost fallacy. They had spent years trying to make a Venom movie. They were like, we need to get this thing out into the world. And then they were like, what? It made 800 like million dollars. Like, it made like as much money as the second Black Panther movie. I'm like, back in 2018, like every superhero movie was making that kind of money, but they definitely aren't making money like that anymore. And so looking back, it's insane to see how much money that Venom movie made. And so, yeah, so you didn't have a plan for a trilogy. Now you're going to make a second movie. At this point, you know that, you know, it's making money. So you can probably suspect that you're getting a trilogy. But going back to actually what we just talked about in the Agatha podcast, like stop saving stuff to do in the future and do it now. I respect them putting everything in Let There Be Carnage. They could have kept Carnage alive for a potential third movie, but I respect them telling a self-contained story and not like making a filler Venom movie that didn't have Carnage in it so that they could save Carnage for a potential third one. So I don't think it's a problem that they didn't plan out a trilogy. It's just dumb to try to retroactively say that Null has been here the whole time when like you didn't intend for that to happen and you didn't even like retcon it in well. And not even that. It's just like you don't do anything with him in this freaking movie. Like,
Because they're
why
saving him for
have
the
him
future.
here? Like, why have him here? Like, would the like maybe the movie would have flowed better without Null. Like, if it was the Xenophages and Venom telling Eddie that Null is out there and then you just see him in a post-credit scene. Like maybe that would have flowed better, but I liked the scenes with Null, so I'm glad that we got more of him than that.
The conundrum of a Sony film. Why did you do it? But maybe I appreciated it. I
I'm like, why'd you do it? But like maybe it would have been worse.
want to jump to the ending because this is one of the parts I had a problem with. Not for the fact that it happened, but again, spoiler alert to anybody if you don't want to know it, you haven't seen the film. But Venom dies at the end of, well, quote unquote, dies at the end of this. He sacrifices himself to save Eddie. And I actually found myself like rolling my eyes in the film a little bit. Cause like, it's not that it was like bad, like it was supposed to be emotional, but I feel like it also didn't come off nearly as emotional as I thought. I think that Venom, like somebody in that room, the editing room was like, oh yeah, this is gonna hit people really hard. And I was just like, this is not doing it for me. And so Vic, I want to get your opinion first. Did it have the emotional impact that Sony wanted it to have for you?
Okay, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not gonna say I had it, but it was okay. I really felt this connection for a moment, at least. Especially only... Okay, I shed a tear for a moment when there are the flashbacks to all the movies. And it's like, I'm gonna miss you, buddy. It was sad. I'm gonna say it. It was sad. But the whole part of Venom dying is like, why couldn't the other symbiotes do it back earlier? Like, why only Venom can kill this thing? By the Sphinx, by merging, and I don't know, was it an acid rain from the containers? Or
something.
Whatever. it was green water, let's say it. But what I'm most mad about it is why they didn't mention they showed it in the first minutes of the movie, and they didn't even mention it at the end, that Venom is still alive. His offspring is still alive. Back on Earth 616 and back on this Earth.
Yeah, there's the little...
Yes. They don't care. they weren't thinking about that.
Yeah, so I could give less of a shit about Venom dying. I was also rolling my eyes. Like, it was like a little bit sad just because I was like, yeah, like, I guess they have been buddies. But then when they're like, it's been 1 year, I'm like, get over it. Like, that's like, you'll live, you know? But it was just dumb because it's like, why are you doing this? I thought the movie might end with him dying and then they were doing it. And I'm like, okay, but yeah, there's the symbiote in 616. There's the piece of symbiote in this universe. Then people were saying that the cockroach in the second end credit scene was like Venom transformed. I couldn't even tell that. I thought it was just a cockroach.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Venom transformed.
Did you guys see that? I'm like, I didn't.
Yeah, like, it was. Was for a second, like Venom touches the cockroach or whatever.
I was gonna say, I told that to my nephew and he was like, no, that did not happen on screen. I was like, yes, it did. He like saw it with me and he was like, that didn't happen.
I'm like, it didn't. I know it crawled by like one of the vials or whatever. So I was like, oh, I'm sure. Like, I was like, oh, like maybe there's a piece of venom, like maybe that's the piece of venom and it's going to attach to the cockroach.
Yeah, but
people were saying that the cockroach was like already venomy.
Yes.
It wasn't. You guys are lying.
It's exactly like this one's ending scene with X-Men The Last Stand when you see Magneto moving the pawn just for a split of a second, like, and it's there. And dance.
I think with the flashbacks, I think that's where I kind of rolled my eyes because I felt a little bit like I was waiting for the Dawson's Creek song to start playing, like, I don't want to wait. Like, because like it just felt so, I was just like, this is so melodramatic for a comic book movie that has never taken itself seriously. Or like if it was supposed to take it seriously, nobody else is.
But that's also kind of fitting because the Venom movies, I saw people saying it was like really cheesy, and I'm like, that's fitting for the Venom movies. Like, it doesn't take itself seriously, but then it really takes like Eddie and Venom seriously sometimes, you know, like they're ridiculous, but it's like, that's a real relationship, you know? And so it was on brand for me for the Venom movies in the way. And so the fact that I was rolling my eyes and thinking this is so stupid, but also this is kind of sad, is like, I'm like, that's totally on brand for the Venom movies. Like, this is stupid. This is bad. This is funny. This is like, why am I here? Why am I watching this? Why did you make this?
Sure. Sure. Okay. That's fine. So we all have different opinions on how that was. I will just say that the guy next to me, who was also a reporter, did fall asleep 3 times in this film, which I feel like is a very good indicator. And he woke up.
And the movie's only like an hour and 40 minutes long.
And he woke up and every time he'd fallen asleep and he'd woken up, nothing had really changed. So I feel like we were in a really good place. That was the movie to take a nap in.
Yeah, maybe he just thought he's watching another movie.
That's fine. So I have to ask you then, because while they keep trying to force these films into the MCU multiverse, as we know, with Eddie crossing over to Spider-Man's, you know, 616 with that, why the hell was Cheadle Edafor in this film as not Mordo? And I know what the question is, because he's not Mordo. But like, also, we also get the guy who plays the Lizard in the Amazing Spider-Man films, and he is not the Lizard in this film. It just feels very interesting that they made these choices. And Uday, you said okay, so I know that you have thoughts on this.
I hate this take. Okay.
Okay.
Like, okay. I hate this take. I watch Grace Randolph. I think she's very entertaining. And she has like said that in all of her coverage about the Venom movies. And it's so frustrating to me because I'm like, this isn't part of the MCU multiverse. This is a one-sided relationship. Sony's like, don't you want me? And Marvel's like, no, get away from me. Like, there is no relationship between them. They cast Chiwetel Ejiofor because they wanted someone like that to play this role. And he wanted the money. Like, that's all. Like, it's just casting, and it's like they've been doing this in movies for centuries, not centuries, but like for a century, you know, like casting people in movies. And it's so frustrating to me that the superhero space, because of the stupid multiverse, it's all become like, why isn't he playing Mordo? I'm like, why the fuck would he be playing Mordo? Like, let's use our brains here. You can cast people in other roles. Like, it's gotten so bad that, like, if Eternals came out in 2024 instead of 2021, we would be getting think pieces about, like, why has Minerva from Captain Marvel, like, dyed her skin a different color and is pretending to be an Eternal? And I'm like, sometimes people are just cast in different roles, and that's how movies work. And so I think there is a point to be made with Reese Ifans playing a random-ass character in this movie, because he played a Spider-Man villain and he was in a multiverse Spider-Man movie as a Spider-Man villain. And in the end credit scene of that movie, it did connect with this Venom franchise. So it is kind of weird for him to be playing a role, but for like Mordo, like it's not like it's two different characters. Like, it's just how casting works.
Okay, but let me ask you this though. So we had Doctor Strange, who was in the Spider-Man film with all the Spider-Men and all the villains. You don't think that that feels connected on purpose to a Venom film? Because in the end, Venom has even popped into our world.
No, because honestly, to me, again, like that post-credit scene, it's just like, again, it's a one-sided relationship. Like, yes, they're trying to like connect these movies, but I guess people are looking at it in two different ways. Because like Vic is talking about like Null coming into the MCU, and Vic, I'm not sure if you mean like this same Null, because I think that has been a rumor, right? That he's going to be like the villain of
yes
Spider-Man.
Yes and no, because what was shown in this movie is that Null is a multiversal being, but I think in the MCU, either it's going to be this one who goes through the portal, because what we've seen in the beginning is that he can create portals. And it was exactly the same portal that transported Eddie from 616 to this Earth, but it's a mess, because
yes.
In No Way Home, he disappears magically, here he's transported to portal, it's just like Shazam 2 all over again.
Yeah, it's a total mess, and yeah, Null's portals were knockoff Doctor Strange portals for sure, but like, this is the way I'm looking at it. It's like nothing that Sony makes matters. Like, yeah, sure, Venom left a piece of his symbiote in our universe, and that, I guess, will be the MCU version of the symbiote, but are they doing anything with it? No, because nothing about Spider-Man 4 points to that being about the symbiote. So are they going to get around to it in Spider-Man 5 or 6? I mean, they could, but I don't know if they will, and if they do, I highly doubt that you're going to hear Tom Hardy's gravelly Venom voice screaming into Peter Parker's ear. Like, that, like those end credit scenes for Let There Be Carnage and No Way Home, like, yes, there is some crossover between the franchises, but that to me just feels like desperation from Sony trying to make Venom a thing. And you're not going to make
We're Venom still in the same universe, guys. Come see our films.
Exactly. And so, and you can tell that because the end credit scene of Let There Be Carnage was Venom is in the MCU now and he's going to fight Spider-Man. And then the end credit scene of No Way Home was get the fuck out of my universe. I don't want you here. And so to me, like, that's why there is no connection. To me, that's why it's so stupid to be like, why is Chiwetel Ejiofor not playing Mordo in this movie? Because it doesn't matter. Because there is no connection here. Like, yes, it's the multiverse. Like, yes, there's been a tiny bit of crossover, but there was a tiny bit of crossover because the executives, like, just, like, made some deal with Feige to, like, have, like, maybe that was part of the deal for making No Way Home is, like, you need to let there be a Venom end credit scene. And so they were like, sure, but it's going to be the least consequential end credit scene we can think of so that we don't need to be actually connected to your crap.
That's fair.
So
that's valid. So moral of the story is that Sony just needs to let Marvel have creative power.
Yes. It,
you know, I'll say yes. We'll see how like the Spider-Man Noir series turns out, but like
thankfully it's Amazon.
Yeah, it's just so dumb to me. I know we're dealing with the multiverse, but some people are just recast and that's okay. Like if anyone thought that Chiwetel Ejiofor was going to be a Mordo variant in this movie, I think their brain had been botted by the multiverse.
Oh, speaking... God, I remember when Owen Wilson was in talks for the role, and I think it was Jermaine Clement, and they announced Chiwetel Ejiofor, and people were like, why is Mordo in Venom universe? What the hell is going on? And I just remembered myself like from 15 years ago when I was watching Marvel movies, and then I was watching Hulk and I was watching Ghost Rider, and there was Sam Elliott in both of those movies, and I was like, is he the same character? No, he's not. And I was like, it's okay, I don't care. And I don't know why people nowadays can't understand that the same actor can play two different characters if it's multiverse, because if it's the same Earth, I understand the confusion and all that, but if it's a multiverse, then
When it's recasting in the same universe, I do think it can be confusing for a cinematic universe, because like there's so much emphasis on consistency. So like, you know, like Michelle Yeoh being both like in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and being Shang-Chi's aunt, like that's in the same universe. That could be confusing. Yeah, or Gemma Chan, but at least she was painted blue in one of those things. Yeah. But again, it's like that stuff happened in like 2019 and 2021, and people weren't like, oh, are these variants of characters? And so the debate about like, yeah, Mordo, it's multiverse brain rot. That's all it is. That's why we need to move on from this crap, because it's just so stupid that you have these takes about simply casting actors in roles.
Yeah.
Like Peter Dinklage being in X-Men and being in Infinity War, it's like Eitri is not a variant of Bolivar Trask, you know, like
or maybe he is.
We don't know that.
We do know that. I'm sorry, Brian, don't open that can of worms.
Yeah, or the recent example, the most recent example with Jake Gyllenhaal as Reed Richards, when he was in talks for the role and people were confused, because we all thought it's going to be on the same Earth, then we learned that it's an alternate universe. And
again, like there's something to be said for that, because Mysterio pretended to be a multiversal character and it would be within the same franchise of the MCU. But like, it's getting out of hand. And so like, I'm glad that Jake Gyllenhaal wasn't cast. Or even when you look at Robert Downey Jr., like there's still confusion. It's like, I mean, I know we were talking about him before we started recording this podcast. Yeah. It's like, is he playing Tony Stark who becomes Doctor Doom? Or is he playing Victor Von Doom who has nothing to do with Tony Stark? And like everyone is saying he's going to be a Tony Stark variant. And I still hope that's not true. I hope it's just double casting him. But I can see from Brian's face that he's probably a Tony Stark variant. And it's like, either way you go, it's stupid. It's stupid to cast Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom. Either way you go, he's not ethnically accurate for the role. So if he's playing Victor Von Doom, he's doing a disservice to that character, especially because he's carrying all his Iron Man baggage into the role. And if he's playing a Tony Stark variant, then you've just erased the character of Victor Von Doom and made him evil Iron Man with a different outfit and a different name. So...
Well, then we're going to switch from the multiverse characters to talk about somebody who was missing. Yeah. Somebody who was missing from this film. Did you guys feel that Michelle Williams's character, like, I feel like I was expecting something because I felt like she was such an important part of the first two films. And then there wasn't even like a phone call. There wasn't even like a text message. There wasn't like a scene where she's like, I need to go find Eddie. Like, I felt like there was just like a complete erasure of her character after being so important for the first two films. Uday, did you feel like there was a missing component here?
Absolutely. So that's what I was thinking about. Like, when I woke up this morning before this podcast, I was like, I'm coming into this with one question. Where the hell is Michelle Williams and her fun new boyfriend?
100%.
Beyonce. And this is a problem that's definitely not only for superhero movies, but I feel like some sequels in general just have this problem where it's like you drop such big parts of like the original movies when you're moving into like the next one. So like Quantumania is a great example of that. Like, where did all his supporting characters go? They just don't exist anymore. Ant-Man supporting characters. And it's the same thing with Venom 3. It's like, I'm glad Mrs. Chen showed up for one scene. It was super random that she was in Vegas at the same time as him. But like, it was nice to see her again. Supporting characters are important to stories. And there's so much that you can say about that. Like, I think part of the reason Agatha all along is so good is because it had such good supporting characters. And dropping supporting characters like they're garbage is a problem. Michelle Williams was great in the first two Venom movies. I forget the guy's name. Like Dan Scott or something.
Oh,
like
Scott
the actor
Reed.
Scott Reed.
Reed Scott, something like that.
Yeah, I think I was thinking Dan because of his character in Veep. Yeah, something like that. They were great. Like, they added a lot of like different kinds of comedy relief to the movie. I loved like the bond they had with Eddie. Like, they were both annoyed and frustrated with him, but they both cared about him. Mm-hmm. And so to completely drop them out of this movie, yeah, it's so weird. Like, I guess they don't really fit in the story of the movie, but neither did Mrs. Chen, and they shoehorned her in there. Like, again, like, what about a text? What about a mention? What about a phone call? I liked that she became She-Venom for like one scene in each movie. It would have been great if she got more of that. It's just, it's really weird to me that some sequels, not even like nowadays, it's just some sequels just drop so much of what made the original movies good.
I think that one of the things that, like, what I was expecting was like, okay, after what happened with Mrs. Chen, Mrs. Chen was going to call her and be like, hey, he's headed to Area 51 and things are bad, you know, and like something of like, you just, because again, in this world, she cares about him, even though they're not together. They're like still friends, and they're still like, you don't stop loving somebody. And she's shown that over and over again. She risked her life in two movies to go and save him. And you're just telling me she's just like fucking off in California, just being like, I don't give a fuck what's going on with your life anymore. Like, this doesn't make sense to her character at all. And you're right. It wouldn't feel like, where would she have fit in this film? I don't know. But it felt like there could have been at least something. Or like at the end, what if she showed up to New York with him and just being like, I'm sorry, you lost your friend. Like, there was something there that was missing. Vic, what about for you? Did you feel like this was missing?
There was a lot of things missing in this movie.
Give it to me. What was missing?
Well, was one of those things, especially because I really liked her. She was a great supporting character. She really fit this hole between past of Eddie and his current state in the first movie when we learn about their breakup. In the second movie, she was also great. And here, okay, I'm going to put it that way. To me, this movie was meant to be about Eddie and Venom only, about the relationship and about their disconnection or whatever. And they made it a mess because they wanted to put too many things, too many emotional stakes, too many, I don't know, danger in the movie. And if it was just a small journey that ended with Venom sacrificing himself for Eddie, what happened in the end, obviously, but with less mess throughout the way, then be good. Also, what was missing, it was, I don't know if it was just me, but this movie looked far, far worse than the previous two movies. Like, I was sitting... Yeah. And I was watching it, and I was like, okay, what's going on? Didn't Adobe Premiere rendered it, or what happened? Like, it looks really, really bad. The color grading was bad. Even the movement of characters was bad. I don't know what happened, but it looked terrible. And I'm not gonna even say that it was meant to be a multiversal movie, and there were talks for the last few years about Tom Holland being this movie, and I really
don't go back to the multiverse story.
But I really wish that they decided to, if they decided to make this movie about Venom and Tom Holland and Peter Parker, then what do we get? Because at least I would see Spider-Man.
You know, I do want to come back. I want to come back to the CGI in just a second, but I do want to finish up with just the characters and the stories. And then, of course, we can talk all about it because I do agree that there were some big issues with this. Was there any characters that felt like they didn't fit the story? And I'm going to start this one because this might be a little controversial. I did not like how they shoehorned in Juno Temple's character. She deserved a bigger part, I think. But I feel like there was just like a huge part of her story that was lacking, that I don't know if it got cut on the floor or if it didn't. But like, I felt like she was just there to be like this love interest that wasn't a love interest. And like, I don't know. I just felt like it was very blocky and choppy. Uday, what do you think?
So I kind of agree. Like, I thought it was really weird that like she has this fascination with symbiotes, and like, mm-hmm. I figured she would, I thought she was going to become like Scream or something. I don't know my comics. I don't know my symbiotes. So I think she was actually Agony was like the symbiote that she became.
Yes.
And she was so fascinated with them. I'm like, oh, she's definitely going to touch one of those things. You know, like she's, you know, like a little mad scientist-y, really obsessed with them. I'm like, she's going to suit up. And so it was so weird to me that her like lab assistant got all the screen time. And I liked, I mean, that character was cool. I mean, like, again, I just talked about the importance of supporting characters. I liked, you know, her with like her little Christmas pin and like her Christmas colored symbiote. You know, a very subtle character, but like, I liked her. Like, a lot was done with just like very little dialogue and what little was on the page. But it was so confusing to me that she got all the focus and then like Juno Temple only symbiotes up to like rescue her.
And then runs away.
Sorry?
And then she runs away at the end.
Yeah, and I'm like, and she was so cool. I was like, with the purple and like the hair and then like the lightning powers, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And why didn't you focus on that? Like, why was she not fighting alongside Venom? Like, why were they not? I mean, you mentioned like a love interest. I didn't really feel like she was a love interest, but I'm like, that could be a symbiote power couple. Like, Agony and Venom could be a couple, even if like Juno Temple and Tom Hardy aren't going to be. But like, I don't know. Yeah, it was so weird. I was waiting for her to suit up and play a big part in the finale, and she takes that symbiote and I'm like, yeah, it's happening. And then there's just nothing. And so people were like, oh, are they setting her up for like more like a spinoff or something? But I'm like, this isn't the kind of franchise that does that, you know? Like this isn't like Venom 3 can't support a spinoff of like some rando symbiote lady, you know? So it's very weird to me why she was included in the movie in the end.
But it does feel like that's what they were trying to do, being like, oh, she's coming back at some other time. And I thought the same thing. I was like, could she support her own? Like, yeah, she was cool. But like, is she like popular enough in Marvel comics to be like, yeah, no, we could justify.
She's not like a movie carrying person. And there's no movie where she's going to show up again in the future. Like, what is she going to be in Kraven the Hunter? Like,
don't tempt them. They might.
That might make Kraven better. It looks like crap right now.
She may show up on TV or something doing an interview or whatever. But, yeah. I mean, I really liked her. I liked Juno Temple. She was great in Ted Lasso and she was great in this movie. So I'm not going to complain about it. But the one character I didn't like this much, but it was still a great character, was Mulligan. Because I didn't even know why they brought him there. Because I checked that between San Francisco and Area 51 is like, I don't know, 10 hours of drive or whatever. And wouldn't he die? He was dying in the second movie and they brought him here and he didn't die?
But
like, yeah. Why? Why? I'm still wondering why. Like, why they injected?
But again, that's one of those plot holes that you're not supposed to look too far into, because if you look too far into it, you might find mold.
Yeah, maybe Sony thought, no, they're not gonna check. San Francisco is right near Nevada. Like, they don't care. We're gonna fix it. We're gonna fix him. And it's like, he appears, he saves Venom, boom. He's not there. Like, what was the whole point?
So I don't think it was a plot hole, because they said that his original symbiote left him. So like, he had like a bad injury in like Venom 2, and then like he symbioted up, and then they said the reason he was dying in this movie is because that symbiote left him. And so I think he was healed after Venom 2, and then his symbiote abandoned his body for whatever reason, and so they're like, oh, like, we need a new one in him to like keep him alive. So,
okay, I don't remember it. It sounds like poor writing, but I'm not gonna.
No, it's stupid. I'm as not hell. Gonna, like, Let's yeah, be clear. It's... But the green symbiote that he was in this movie was like his second symbiote. Like, they didn't mention that. And so I'm like, it's dumb as hell. But like, I don't think it's a plot hole. It's just stupid.
Yeah, this whole movie is stupid. But
I was gonna say, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. Reed Scott, who played Dan Lewis in the first two films, is actually in this film as the voice of Imperium, but he's credited as Dan in the credits, but he never appears in the film. Like, that just feels like the most.
What?
Yep.
Dan is like the person in the shadows.
Yes. And he's credited as Dan, but never appears in the film. But would you have ever gotten that? Vic walked away. But
yeah, like, you never get that. I was gonna say I'm leaving this podcast. Like, it's just.
But my thing is that they like they put these things. They like put these worlds together. First off, how did we get there? How did we get him? Were we supposed to know that was Dan? Because I didn't realize that was Dan until I.
No, you definitely weren't. There was nothing to indicate that. This is rotting my brain.
I thought it was the general at the end who appeared in the hospital.
Nope. Nope.
Also thought it might have been the general, but I was like, he doesn't seem the same. Yeah.
Sully, why?
But see, this is the thing where, again, this is why these films are so messy, because it feels like you have these cool ideas, but then you don't execute them properly, or you don't take the time to execute them properly, you know?
Well, just imagine if Dan was pretending to be an asshole to just discover that for all this time he was a billionaire vigilante or whatever.
It's just... So now let's go back to the CGI.
Hashtag redemption for Dan.
Oh my God. Wait. I'm on the Wikipedia page. Did you know that that girl with the Christmas color pin, that her name is Sadie Christmas?
I didn't, and I didn't want to say that because I thought maybe I was stupid and they said that in the film and I didn't catch that.
No, her name was Sadie Christmas.
Which is why she liked Christmas.
That makes me not like her anymore.
It's like that girl in high school that nobody could stand. The Rachel Berry. Oh my gosh.
Can we move Uday, on?
Uday, let's talk about the CGI. I know that Vic already told us that he didn't care for the CGI. Were you...
It was really bad.
What was your thoughts on the CGI of this film?
I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't really think about it that hard, to be honest. I'm like, okay. Like I said, I thought the symbiotes looked really good for the most part. I really liked seeing them like all suit up. I'm sure that there were moments of bad CGI. I can't think of any that like stood out to me as like particularly offensive. Because what I like to say, I like to say that in every MCU movie, there's just one scene that is so awful, obviously green screen. And so I love like doing the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing meme when I watch an MCU movie and I find that one bad scene. Like in Civil War, it's when Rhodey and Tony arrive on the tarmac at the airport. It's so yes. Bad green screen. Everyone knows what the moment is for Black Widow because everyone makes fun of it. And there's no moment like that in Venom that I can think of. Like, there was no moment where I'm like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen in this
movie. You know why? Because the whole movie, like, looks like this.
So maybe. Like, maybe the whole movie just looks mediocre, so nothing stands out as particularly bad. Because to get in another whack on Deadpool and Wolverine, I can't think of a bad green screen moment from Deadpool and Wolverine because the whole movie is bad green screen. But, sorry, Vic. I saw your eyes go wide. But yeah, I do think the CGI on the Xenophages was pretty good. I liked the Xenophage design a lot because like those, again, maybe I'm easily scared. Those were horrifying to me. And I thought it was super interesting how they had like wood chippers in their mouths, you know, that they would like eat people and just like shred them out the back of their skulls. It was pretty violent and bloody for a PG-13 movie, I thought. I was surprised they got away with that much blood. And again, it was just like a really interesting effect that I haven't seen in a movie before.
I have to say the one scene that really jumped at me, I was like, oh, this looks really bad, was the scene, and this is the worst part about it for me. It's the scene where the family and Venom are falling from the tower and the tower's collapsing, and it looked like a CW TV show. And I was like, oh God, we had that in a film. Like, I get it, but like it just felt very like it, then when he suits up as Venom in that scene and grabs them, it looks fine. But like as they're falling, they look like the CGI people from like early 2000s dropping. Like,
okay, yeah, that's fair.
Why you guys hate me?
I'm sorry. Okay, so just for the sake of time, we are going to go to the future of the Sony Marvel characters. We have Kraven the Hunter next, and as Uday already said, this movie to him does not look great. Vic, what are your thoughts on where Kraven the Hunter? Are you excited for it? That sigh says it all. Never mind.
I mean, I'm mentally destroyed by the whole Sony Marvel cinematic universe trying to be edgy, funny, quality, whatever they want to be. Oh, I have a perfect comparison to this. It's like this one member of your family you hate, but when there's a family reunion, you still know you're gonna see them and you'll be disappointed in the end, but either way, you're gonna go there.
You know, Uday, I know we already know how you feel about this, and we're also not gonna talk about how it connects to Secret Wars, because I heard the rumors that it might, but let's hope that it doesn't. But Uday, what can Sony do to right the ship of their Marvel characters? Because clearly, the ship... Is it a ship? I don't even know. Is it just a piece of cardboard? Is it the door from Titanic? I can't tell you right now. So how do they write this?
They can burn it.
They can burn it. Okay.
I'm sick of it. Like, they can't make a good movie to save their lives. And it's not even funny anymore. Like, Madam Web was funny. Morbius was funny. Kraven doesn't look funny. This wasn't funny. Like... I mean, I guess it was kind of funny, but like, you know what I mean? It's just like, how many times can we laugh at your stupidity before like we just get pissed off? And I feel like I'm sure. Edging more into like the pissed off. Like, I liked Madam Web much more than I expected to, you know, like it's okay. Still, I still gave it like, you know, like maybe 3 stars out of 10. I'm fairly generous with my movie ratings. Venom has a 3 stars out of 10, this movie, but
mine has a 5.
So I tend to not give around 5s. I feel like usually the lowest I'll go for a movie is a 6 out of 10. And again, once again, dropping a hot take. So like Infinity War is a 6 out of 10. And it took me a lot of...
Can I go out again? Can I leave again?
No, you can't. And it took me a long while to realize that it was a 6 out of 10. I was so in denial about not loving Infinity War that like I was like, no, it's an 8. Like, no, it's a 7. And then eventually I'm like... No, it's a 6, and that's okay. It's still a fun movie, but I'm like, it's a 6 for me, quality-wise. And so in the past year, I will say, like, with all these movies coming out, like, with, sorry, but with the Marvels, with Deadpool and Wolverine, I'm like, I've really had to, with Madam Web, with Venom 3, I've really had to confront my giving 6 out of 10s. I've had to go lower than that for these movies.
Vic, how do they write the ship?
I don't know. I'm still wondering how. It's like, I think it's already sunken, and it's on the same it's on the bottom. Like, you can go any lower, except if they decide to do something so crazy that we're gonna think, okay, maybe this will save them, but it will dig a hole beneath the ship and it will sink even lower. Like, come on. Like, I'm not optimistic. I'm gonna go watch Kraven because I want to see how they're gonna destroy it, and I love Russell Crowe, so I hope he will at least be one good thing in this movie. But like, come on. Oh, and I also want to see if they kept the post credit scene, but I guess they changed it 7 times since then, so
I don't know the post credit scene.
I think it was the scene with Vulture and Morbius robbing the bank or something.
I don't know. Okay, I mean, I think the
way to write the ship is we mentioned it earlier, is that they need to give creative control back to Marvel and then not make Marvel also bring these characters in there. Let Marvel play with these characters, let Marvel do it, and have them be co-productions like you do with Spider-Man. Clearly they can do $2 billion movies because we have No Way Home. But you have to let, I think that you have to let the people who are cooking at Marvel cook with these characters, because it can't be any worse.
Yeah, no, it can't be. And like, Sony's had some interesting ideas. What happened to that Spider-Woman movie? That was going to be a co-production with...
It was meant to be a TV show, and then they canceled it.
But it was separate from like the Silk TV show. Olivia Wilde was going to direct a Spider-Woman movie, and it was a co-production with Marvel Studios, and there hasn't been word on that like since 2020 or 2019 or something.
Yep.
But like that would be a good idea. Like, do more co-productions with Marvel Studios instead of just making a bunch of shit on your own. Like, no one is really even watching these things anymore. I mean, I guess actually Venom the Last Dance is doing like fairly well at the box office, I think. Like not as good as the first two, but like definitely not where movies like Madame Web and Joker and like the Marvels performed. And once again, I'm very sorry to have to put the Marvels in that camp. It doesn't deserve to be there, but
it doesn't.
It is. Yeah, and so
it doesn't, yeah.
And so it's still making some money, but it's like that's only the Venom movies. The other movies don't make anything. Like Morbius and Madame Web, the only thing they're good for is memes. And so I think Kraven the Hunter will be a good indicator because, like, I don't think anyone's interested in
memes. For a second, I thought you were going to say it's going to be a good meme.
No, but I think it's a good indicator of what a Sony Marvel movie is actually like because I don't think it has the memes and I don't think it's going to have the box office. So, like, without that, they are nothing.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah. I think it's a good moment to...
I think it's
forgive me for a second, Brian, but...
No, you're good. You're good.
I think they... Now, to be completely serious, like... The best decision for Sony to make is to sign a deal with Marvel to give Marvel all the character rights back, but to let Sony keep some of the money from the box office for the projects or whenever the character they sold to them is used. And that way, Sony doesn't have to make those movies, and that way they won't be bad because Sony doesn't make them, and they can earn money. So eat cake and have a cake.
I don't know if they'd ever do that because they own part of the rights to the Spider-Man character himself, right? Isn't that the issue? Yeah. That like they just I still believe that even with making such bad movies that are like damaging like their brand, it's like I think they're still more profitable than they would be if they made a deal like that with Marvel. And so I just don't think they're ever gonna give it up.
Just like Rick Ashley, he's never gonna give you up. No, I'm sorry. You're right. From a business standpoint, does it make sense? Probably not.
Yeah, and I just think that I think this is a good time to stop the Sony Marvel movies because I don't think they have anything coming up after Venom, after Kraven. I don't think they have another project coming up.
Morbius like, 2. Morbius 2, it's Morbin time.
Like, dear Lord, announced for filming, as far as I know.
Well, they have Noir coming out for Amazon.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
But that's it. That's the last project.
Spider Verse movie.
Is it coming out though? No.
Yeah.
I know it is.
It's Spider-Man 4, but Spider-Man 4 is for Marvel, yeah. So. Yeah.
So, you know, with all of that, I think it's time to wrap up this Venom 3, The Last Dance, because we've been talking for almost an hour and 20 minutes about just as long as the film, honestly, but not nearly as messy. So we'd love to continue the conversation. So check us out at thecosmiccircus.com, or you can find us on Twitter and other social medias at MyCosmicCircus or our Cosmic Circus Podcast Twitter at Cosmic Podcast. Thank you again for tuning into The Cosmic Circle. My name is Brian Kitson, and you can find me on Twitter at Kitson301. Uday and Vic, it's always a pleasure. Before you go, can you tell the people where they can find you?
I'm Uday. You can find me on most social medias at GoldenNinja3000.
And I'm Vic. You can find me at Riddick Salky, and take care.
Thanks again, everybody. Can't wait for our next trip through the cosmos.